Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Tuesday on this sixth day of April 2021. Are naive Christians unconsciously helping to pave the way to greater waves of persecution of the church? Well, we're going to discuss that question today with Phil Johnson, one of my favorite guests of all time here on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. In fact, I still don't think anybody has beat him as far as being the most interviewed guest of all time on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Phil is the executive director of the media ministry for Dr. John MacArthur. Grace to you. And we are going to be addressing that theme that I just mentioned, and it's an honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Phil Johnson.
Thank you, Chris. Good to be here.
And why don't you very quickly... give us an update on how Grace Community Church in Sun Valley, California, where you are a member, the church pastored by John MacArthur, and where you also basically pastor a church within a church there. Tell us how you folks are faring with all the persecution you've been receiving locally in California due to your refusal to shut down during the coronavirus pandemic hysteria mandates.
Yeah, actually, things are going very well. We just had, of course, Easter celebration. The Friday evening, Good Friday service, which is always one of the biggest services of the year. This year, it was packed, and we have several overflow spaces now because there's still a tent set up in the parking lot for people who want to meet outdoors. There's an overflow space in the gymnasium. And then several places outdoors where you can sit and watch the service on video. And, of course, the 3,000-seat auditorium inside, all of those spaces were full on Friday night. I honestly don't know where everyone was able to park, but everything was packed full on Friday night. It had to be one of the biggest attendances we've ever had for a single service. I would say all of the stuff you've read in the news about Grace Church and our meeting and all hasn't done anything to quell attendance. But attendance is as thorough and lively as it's ever been. These actually have been the greatest days for the church. When the quarantine started, when the COVID crisis hit, I think a lot of us looking ahead said this could be very harmful to the life and health of our church. But the truth is, this has been the most exciting and blessed year in the history of my 40 years at Grace Church.
Wow. Well, there's Romans 8:28 going into action right there. In fact, I know a number of churches that refuse to shut down who have grown substantially in size because many people were tired of having the churches where they were members being so obedient to the secular authorities and keeping their door shut, and even going beyond what the secular authorities asked and certainly what they had the authority to do. just out of some kind of expression of love in their minds to the community, when I think it's the exact opposite. The church is supposed to be expressing their love by ministering to the community with the gospel, with a call to repentance and discipleship and counseling and all things like that that go on, in addition to meeting the physical needs of folks in the surrounding areas of a church. So isn't it ironic that people...
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, the history of the church is dotted with incidents of plagues and pandemics that have crippled society. This is not by any means the first time and far from the worst plague that ever hit the world. And the church has been there through dozens of those. And in fact, one of the famous outbreaks of cholera in England was at the start of Spurgeon's ministry there in London. And he records how he just continued to minister to people, and while health officials were saying, you know, it's dangerous to come into contact with people who are infected, he went and prayed with the sick and dying, and trusted the Lord to keep him from you know, getting cholera himself, and survived that crisis, and the Lord blessed his ministry. And that's how the church has always responded until now in our generation. And I think one of the problems is that you've got so many of these massive mega churches whose entire existence is not really to proclaim the gospel, because they don't do that or they don't do it clearly, but they see the goal of the church as to gather the biggest possible crowd. And so they'll use entertainment or any means they can to try to assemble a multitude. And in the midst of a crisis like this where they can't meet, what do they have left to do? Most of those churches have remained closed. And as you said, all the churches I know of that have continued to meet have experienced growth as a result, because true believers who may be in churches that are either less than totally orthodox or less than enthusiastic about the gospel, those churches that have totally shut down, the few remaining believers in those churches have looked for other places to go, and they found that those who are still preaching the gospel and still devoted to the truth still have thriving congregations, and the Lord's blessed us.
Any further threats or anything like that coming from governing authorities and the police department and so on?
I think still, yes, there are hearings and lawsuits that probably will continue for a couple of years. I'm not supposed to comment or give any opinion on the matters that are involved with the lawsuits, so I can't say a lot about it. But I know that there are still hearings. The county hasn't backed off. The state government here in California has been notoriously rigid on the restrictions, except for the politicians themselves who find ways around. They still get to eat in restaurants and things like that, while the rest of us are under rules not to meet and not to go indoors without a mask and all that sort of stuff. But, you know, we've continued to meet and grow, and like I said, the Lord has blessed us.
Praise God. And if anybody wants more information about Grace Community Church in Sun Valley, California, and also the ministry for which our guest Phil Johnson serves as executive director, Grace to You, you could go to gty.org, gty.org. In fact, I'm going to take this time to quickly plug an excellent book, a very important book for our time, Coronavirus and the Leadership of the Christian Church, A Sacred Trust Broken. My personal physician is one of the authors, Dr. Joel Yeager of Heritage Family Health in Newmanstown, Pennsylvania. He co-authored that along with Dr. Daniel O'Rourke, another physician, and Ernie Springer, who is the publisher. And in fact, I've got to get a hold off the air, of course, of your mailing address, Phil, because the publisher would love for you to have a copy of this in your hands.
Yeah, thank you. I'll text my address to you.
Oh, that sounds great. We have a pretty heavy theme today, and I want you to answer the question. Are naive Christians unconsciously helping to pave the way to greater waves of persecution of the church?
Yeah, I think there's no question that that is happening. You can see it in pretty much any venue where people exchange ideas and talk, mainly on social media, obviously. The hordes of Twitter are full of professing believers, evangelicals, who are some of the harshest critics of those of us who continue to meet or continue to talk about preaching the gospel in the midst of what they see as a situation that really ought to shut us down. The fear, which, you know, it's ironic, isn't it? That Scripture says one of the chief things Christ died for is to deliver those who, through all their lives, struggle with the fear of death. And so here we are in a situation where the media and our government and pretty much every major institution seems to be doing everything they can to prolong the crisis and maximize the fear. And it's disturbing to me that so many Christians are playing along with that narrative and fomenting that scenario. They believe that we really ought to be more fearful than we are. And, I think that simply opens the door for more and more persecution. Persecution not only from official sources, the government, but from the world, and in the end, it turns out that some of the chief persecutors, some of the verbal persecution, comes from within the evangelical community.
Yeah, it is quite a disturbing scenario that we are facing, where people very quickly, immediately believe in things they are taught and mandated by the secular media and by secular politicians and scientists, even those that are known to, for lack of a better term, hate Christ and his gospel and his scriptures. Even though that the Christians who are bowing down to these mandates so quickly and the urgent call for vaccinations and other things, they know that these people also believe that a 9-month-old baby in the womb is not worthy of the protection of its own life from being murdered by the mother and the mother's physician. They know that these same politicians and many of the same scientists will allow a man to be identified as a woman just because he feels like one. I mean, we could go on and on with the insanity, and Christians who believe in the inerrancy of Scripture are just immediately jumping on the bandwagon and siding with these individuals.
Yeah, it's proof of how influential the world can be and how worldly today's Christians are. We've been indoctrinated by public schools, the media, the government, pretty much every means of communication, indoctrinating people to be gullible like that. And what's appalling is how many Christians go along with it. You want to see evidence of it? Look at the case of that pastor in Alberta who was arrested simply for meeting with his church and preaching, even though there hadn't been any cases of COVID in that church. There were, as I understand it, two cases in the church, two cases of COVID, and so they closed and followed the quarantine procedures while those people quickly recovered from the illness. But the virus had not been a significant problem in that church, and so they decided to resume meeting and continue meeting. And the government actually sent policemen in, and they arrested this pastor. And he spent, I forget how much time in jail, but it was several days, maybe a couple of weeks, in jail because he was preaching.
There's definitely at least a couple of weeks or more.
Yeah, and a lot of the talk on Twitter, even coming from fellow Canadian Christians. In fact, I would say some of the Canadian evangelicals were the worst at this. They focused their attacks on that pastor and said, shame on him. He should be obeying the rules. He's causing all of us more grief. And the big argument was, how can you call this persecution? This isn't legitimate persecution. This is punishment for disobeying the law. And they refused to see it as any kind of persecution. Well, that clearly is going to open the door for a heavier and heavier hand from the government. You already see it this weekend. There was that viral video of another church in Canada where you perhaps saw it, a Polish pastor chased a group of policemen and a health official out of the church yelling at him. I don't necessarily endorse his style, but I absolutely stand with him in saying if we as believers don't resist this sort of illegal intrusion by government officials, it's just going to get worse and worse. And I think with so many Christians going along with it are actually opening the door for a time of persecution that they probably will regret.
Yes, and it is interesting that quite providentially, the theme for the conference that you and I will be attending, where you will be one of over 20 speakers, the G3 conference in Atlanta, Georgia, September 30th through October 2nd, the theme is Christ is Supreme Over All. And really, Christians are, I would have a hard time believing they'd be conscious of this, but they're really allowing governing authorities to have supremacy over Christ, because they are allowing governing authorities in some places even to forbid Christians from doing things they're commanded to do. Am I right?
Yeah, no, that is exactly right. It started with the fact that we are commanded to meet. I mean, that's the whole meaning of the word church. It's a called out assembly, an assembly. It's not an online discussion group. It's an assembly of the saints, and we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, even under government orders. And, you know, we said this more than a year ago. Look, if there's a legitimate health crisis, people are dying and the streets are full of bodies, yes, we can suspend the worship of the church for a definite time. Just like if you're sick, you don't come to church if you have a contagious disease. So the command to not forsake the assembling of yourselves together isn't so absolute that it means you should never, you're always in sin if you ever miss a Sunday. But once it's gone for more than a year now, in fact, I would say by the time it went for 2 months and there weren't signs that people were dying in droves and groups like churches meeting were spreading the disease at a rate that was actually killing large numbers of people. As soon as that was clear, it seems to me that there comes a time when the church has to assert its own responsibility to Christ and say, well, look, we have to obey God rather than men. That's the biblical principle. We obey God rather than men. And there's an element of subjectivity in the question of how long. How long do you obey a quarantine, and when do you go back to worship? It would seem to me that by any measure, once the church has been suspended for more than a year, you can see this just in the response of people. People all over the world are coming back to church anyway, because you can't, as a believer, thrive and grow and progress in your sanctification the way you should and live a healthy spiritual life if you're deprived of all fellowship for months on end like that. It just seems to be common sense for anyone who understands the whole point of the church assembling and fellowship. And yet, there is no end of people out there who self-identify as evangelicals who still fiercely and angrily believe that those churches that are continuing to meet are somehow, they're the ones in sin.
What do you think is the root of that phenomenon where you have, I mean, because I know folks that are just as conservative as you and I, who are just as committed to Reformed soteriology as you and I, to biblical inerrancy as you and I, who even may have openly despised the presidential candidacy and election of Joe Biden as much as you and I, and yet they are among these cheerleaders for all of the mandates that are being declared, whether they are legally declared or strongly recommended under the language, or using the language that it sounds like a mandate anyway. What do you think the root of that is?
Yeah, I don't have a good answer for that question. I've wondered about it myself. There aren't many like that. I do think the lines generally break down between those who are totally committed to biblical inerrancy and the authority of Christ over the church, typically are the ones who say, no, the church needs to meet. And it's people who are more pragmatic, who think the point of the church is to gather a crowd and influence the world by persuasion or whatever. They tend to be the ones who think, no, we have to go along with this for the sake of our testimony and loving our brethren. That's generally how it breaks down. But as you say, there are some whose theological opinions I would normally agree with, who on this issue have gone along with interminable quarantines and are perfectly content just to live stream church services. I think it reflects a deficient view of ecclesiology, the doctrine of the church. I'm willing to argue that anywhere. But you can see, for example, the inconsistency of thought in a group like Nine Marks, Mark Dever's group, who at first they were extremely critical of churches who gathered to meet anyway. And yet one of the core principles of what they've taught for years is the importance of centrality of the church and the fellowship and physical attendance at church. That's been one of the doctrines they've stressed. And yet, they spent weeks, maybe months, being critical of churches that were meeting over against the quarantine. And then, ultimately, they decided, no, this has gone on too long. And they sued for the right to. So I don't understand. Like I said, there's a degree of subjectivity and how long is too long and all that. And so I can appreciate that. I can live with a bit of disagreement, but here we are more than a year after the quarantine started, and those Christians who are still content to sit home in their pajamas and drink coffee and live stream on TV and think that that's as healthy as going to church, I just don't understand that attitude. I don't think that grows out of any sort of faith or devotion to Christ. I think that's a worldly attitude, and I'm not ashamed to say that's my point of view.
There have been some closer to or right on the same spot that you and I are on this issue, who have even said that that is not worship, and gathering around a TV or computer screen, although is a beneficial aid at times, especially for those who are homebound, it is not a substitute in any way for worship, and it really isn't. How do you respond to that level of critique over what's going on?
Well, I do agree with that. I think, you know, live streaming the church service, I'm not opposed to that because I think it serves a very useful purpose for people who are of necessity shut in. And my dad, who died last year, was confined to assisted care living place for months, and his only source of biblical teaching and Christian fellowship was the sort of online thing, and plus people who came to visit him. I appreciate that. He sensed the need for fellowship and would have said that, but he could not get out. And I think the church owes people like that all kinds of ministry, both in person and, to, if possible, make the worship service available online so they can watch it and participate at least on that level. But, and I would say dogmatically, that is not a valid substitute for church. It's not an option if you're able to attend to say, no, I just don't feel like getting up and getting dressed this week, and so I'll watch the live stream on the internet. That's at best a temporary short-term substitute. It's better than skipping it altogether, but not much. And after a year of nothing but online, you know, watching a service online, I can't see how any Christian who genuinely understands the priority of Christian fellowship would settle for that as a permanent or even long-term option. It's just not, it doesn't accomplish what the church is meant to do. How do you use your spiritual gift if you cut yourself off from any kind of contact with your brothers and sisters in Christ? You can't do it.
Well, we have to go to our first break right now. If anybody wants to join us with a question of your own, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please give us your first name, at least your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. We're going to be right back after these messages with more of Phil Johnson of Grace to You, the ministry of John MacArthur.
Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group, .org/podcast.
I'm Phil Johnson, host and executive director of Grace to You, the media ministry of John MacArthur. I hope you plan to join me and Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, for the G3 conference in Atlanta, Georgia, Thursday, September 30th through Saturday, October 2nd. The theme this year is Christ is Supreme Over All. My friend Chris Arnzen and I will be joined by several of our other friends, including Vody Balcom, Justin Peters, Daryl Bernard Harrison, Virgil Walker, and James White. More than 20 other speakers will be joining us, and the lineup this year includes my pastor, John MacArthur. For details, visit g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com. Chris Arnzen and I hope to see you September 30th through October 2nd at G3 2021. This is Phil Johnson reminding you that Christ is supreme over all.
When
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm author Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Dan Lebenick of West Hills Baptist Church in Huntington Station, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Justin Peters of Justin Peters Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Reverend Buzz Taylor, author of God's Lawson, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Dr. William Webster, pastor of Grace Bible Church in Battleground, Washington, founder of the ministry Christian Resources. The NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Ryan Galan of Central Islip Community Church in Central Islip, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Brandon Smith of Trinity Reformed Baptist Church in Jackson, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written Word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the Gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S, drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Greetings in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Banu Gaddy. I'm a pharmacist in New York, which is the epicenter of the latest crisis the world is going through. In Psalm 139, verse 14, the psalmist offers praise to the Lord like this: I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and wondrous are your works that my soul knows very well. He saw God's goodness and mercy, kindness, and the beauty in what God has designed, and he has erupted into praise. In any crisis or problem, brothers and sisters, our only fallback position is to trust God's design. And once we do, there is nothing for us to do but to erupt in praise to him. When the whole world is searching for a solution, God, in his infinite mercy, has given us what we need to address this illness, which can be very serious. Such is the beauty of his design. Knowing that design, how can we not erupt in praise to our great God like the psalmist did? May God bless you and give all of us wisdom to see greater things in his design. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnson has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reformed Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnson, and if you just tuned us in, our guest today for the entire program is Phil Johnson, the president of Grace to You, the media ministry of John MacArthur, and we are discussing our naive Christians unconsciously helping to pave the way to greater waves of persecution of the church. Our email address, if you have questions of your own, is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please give us, as always, your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence. If you live outside the USA, only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Let's say you disagree with your own pastors over some of the issues we're discussing today, and you obviously don't want to draw attention to your identity. Perhaps you're even a pastor. You disagree with your fellow elders over what we're discussing, or you disagree with your denomination or what have you. Well, we understand that those would be reasons, and there would be other reasons why you might want to remain anonymous. But if it's just a general question, please give us your first name at least, your city and state, and your country of residence. Phil, we have a first-time questioner, Andrew, in Brooklyn, New York. How does the modern church's compromise on critical race theory and intersectionality compare to the church's compromise on evolution and a literal genesis?
Yeah, you know, I think it comes from the same source, and that is a proud desire to have academic respectability, you know, so that if you watch the history of, just review the history of the evangelical church over the past 200 years, there's been a significant and always destructive tendency for leading evangelicals to think that if they don't go along with whatever academic theories or beliefs happen to be popular in the secular academy at any given time, then they sacrifice their influence with the world, as if our influence somehow is based on our own intellectual achievements or our intellectual aptitude, when in fact, Scripture is very clear, saying that God chose the weak things of this world to confound the wise. The last thing the church needs to be doing is watching what the secular academy is thinking at the moment and trying to adapt our message so that it fits. And yet that sort of thinking has been a plague on Christianity for at least 200 years. And it's the thing that keeps dragging the evangelical movement into liberalizing ideas, Socinian doctrines, you know, everything from universalism and Unitarianism to neo-orthodoxy, all has in common this desire to fit in with whatever happens to be academically stylish at the moment. And right now, what's stylish is social justice. You can see that in every venue of secular discourse, not only in the academic world, where it's that those ideas have been there for 20 years or longer, but now even in popular entertainment, everything is about social justice and all the attendant beliefs that go with that. And so evangelicals in hordes are trying to jump on another bandwagon just at the very moment when it seems to me many thought leaders in the secular world have become tired of the cancel culture and all of the, everything is racist. All of the ideas that are associated with social justice. It's a culture of victimhood, where victimhood is glorified and everything is blamed on racism. I've written elsewhere that it's become almost the substitute for religion in the secular world. Wokeism. It has many of the attributes of a religion. Everything from its own songs and rituals to things that you have to believe without question or you get excommunicated, canceled. So, you know, I think of all the things going on in the evangelical community today, that is one of the most dangerous and destructive movements there is, this notion that somehow if we don't integrate the doctrines of secular social justice into our message, then we're going to lose our influence with the world. I think my pastor, John MacArthur, has said in all his experience, you know, 50 years in Christian ministry, this is the most dangerous threat that the church has had to weather yet.
Now, by the way, thank you for your excellent question, Andrew, in Brooklyn, New York. And please keep listening to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and spreading the word in Brooklyn, New York, and beyond. And by the way, if you give me your full mailing address in Brooklyn, you will receive a free New American Standard Bible, as all of our first-time questioners receive compliments of the publishers of the NASB and compliments of Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, cvbbs.com. And cvbbs.com is a very faithful sponsor of this program, Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. So keep your eye out in the mail for that package. And, of course, make sure you give us your full mailing address. Something that is interesting, an interesting phenomenon. Why do you think it is? I mean, some people might be listening and they might be saying, what does critical race theory and intersectionality have to do with the main theme of shutting down of churches over coronavirus hysteria mandates? Well, it does seem to dovetail. I mean, not always. I mean, I know folks that are very opposed to critical race theory and intersectionality and all of those nonsensical, insane, and dangerous and bigoted things that are under the umbrella of the woke movement and the social justice warrior movement. who are opposed to that and yet are right on the bandwagon with the mask mandates, with the shutting down of churches, with rushing as fast as you can to get a vaccine. But there is, it seems, an overlapping, though, where there are many who have as much a part of their agenda the pushing for these mandates as they are to promote the woke movement. Why is that?
Yeah, in fact, that's the most common. The social justice agenda and the health mandates get married together and become a cause to fight for among evangelicals. That would be the most common group. As you say, there are some who would reject the social justice agenda, and yet they're all in favor of the mask mandates and quarantines. It doesn't often go the other way. You don't see many people who say, no, the church needs to meet. We need to go ahead and worship and trust the Lord in the midst of, any health crisis. And I think, you don't see many people who say that and then say, and we're also in favor of social justice. We want the church to meet, and we're in favor of social justice. And I think the reason you don't see that very often is because people, evangelicals endorsing the social justice agenda, and evangelicals who endorse the closure of churches for health reasons, all are driven by a similar motive, and it's what I was just talking about in response to that question. It's a desire to gain some kind of influence or respectability or accolades from a secular world where these ideas are popular. So whatever happens to dominate the secular mind at the moment is easily adopted by people who think that, you know, the church can't have influence with the world if we disagree with them. So let's agree with them as much as we can. And they've lost the picture that the church is called to confront culture, not adapt to it. But if you think, no, what we have to do is contextualize everything and adapt to the culture as much as we can, then you're going to be just as in favor of government intrusion into church polity and practice as you are in favor of the social justice agenda. Because that's the price of respectability and approval from worldly-minded people.
What do you foresee being, I mean, I know that you're not a prophet, I know that you're a very strict cessationist, I know that you're not into extra-biblical divine revelation occurring in the 21st century, so I know that you don't know anything with infallibility, but do you have any idea or any biblically trained thoughts on what you see as a possibility for, or not only biblically trained thoughts, but even from what you know from history and from what you see going on in the world around us now, what you expect might be greater waves of persecution specifically for the church, especially here in the United States and North America in general?
Yeah, you're right. I'm a cessationist, but I have to say, over the years, I think my predictions, just based on guesses and experience, have been far more accurate than most of the Pentecostal prophets. So I don't claim any special insight or knowledge. And in fact, there've been some trends like this that I honestly did not foresee. The social justice thing, for example, that was one of the planks in the platform of the emerging church movement almost 20 years ago. They were big on social justice and parroting all the same things that you hear today from more mainstream evangelicals. And when the emerging church movement died, I really didn't anticipate that mainstream evangelicals were going to pick up the social justice theme and make that the heart of their message. So I didn't see that coming. I would not have predicted that the COVID crisis and the health quarantine would cause such a stark division within the church, within the evangelical movement. I did not foresee that coming. So, again, I don't claim any special insight or anything like that, but if I had to guess where government intrusion into the church is going to take place, it's going to be focused mainly, I believe, on the issues of sexual perversion and gender preferences and all of those things, where already you're required by law in certain environments to recognize all different kinds of sexual perversions as normal, or at least pretend they're normal. And you're required, at least by social convention, not yet by government mandate, but that's coming pretty soon, I think. You'll be required to use people's preferred pronouns. And so if someone self-identifies as a woman, but he was born a man, it will be illegal to use a masculine pronoun in reference to him. Already you can lose your job or whatever. And I think there's going to be an effort in fact, some of the politicians have already outspokenly stated this, that they believe laws about non-discrimination on the basis of sexual preference or gender identity, non-discrimination should be required by law even in churches. So the churches would be forced to hire transsexuals and homosexuals, and I think that's coming pretty quickly, and it already exists in some countries. Right now, Grace to You, our radio broadcast, is on the air in Canada and England, and both of those countries have pretty strict laws about what you can say regarding homosexuality, to the point where even if all you do is quote scripture saying that it's a sin for a man to lie with a woman, you can be fined or even kicked off the radio for discrimination against homosexuality. The LGBT movement, I think, is therefore going to be the focus of the big wave of persecution that's really going to, I think, sift the church and separate genuine Christians from people who are religious as a matter of convenience for social acceptance or whatever. Because once it's costly to stand for the truth, you will see who really believes it and who doesn't.
Yeah, I rarely agree. Well, maybe that's a stretch or an exaggeration. I very often disagree, not all the time, but I very often disagree with Pastor Jeffers in Texas, one of the pastors that was most frequently featured on Fox News and other conservative outlets during the presidential race and even subsequent to that. I believe he's my brother in Christ, and I just don't agree with all of his rhetoric or his discernment, especially when he was linking arms with some of the lunatic fringe Word of Faith movement leaders just because they were supportive of President Trump. But he said something recently that I agreed with when he was being asked about the recent polls that church attendance, in fact, all attendance in houses of worship across the board, has dropped dramatically. In fact, for the first time in the history of the United States, apparently, church attendance has only been something that is being participated by less than half of the population in America. In other words, prior to recently, and since they started taking these polls, more than half, the majority of Americans were churchgoers and also attendees regularly at their houses of worship of choice. But Pastor Jeffers, I think rightly said that, well, that's just nominal Christianity, who are basically starting to live and act according to their true worldview and belief system. They're just not going to church anymore because they never really believed to begin with, likely. And I see a lot of validity in that. What do you have to say?
Yeah, he's absolutely right about that. And it is one of the hidden blessings of persecution. You know, we live in an era where there really is very little persecution. We're not accustomed to it. But if you look at the whole sweep of church history, the church has been persecuted far more than it's lived in peace. And persecution has the beneficial effect of keeping the church pure. But I absolutely agree with him that one of the reasons, it's actually a blessing, I think, if half of the churches in America shut down, I wouldn't lament that.
More than half.
Yeah, more than half of the churches in America are not truly Christian anyway. So yeah, he's right about that. And I think the harsher the persecution becomes, the higher price you have to pay in order to stand for Christ, the more you're going to see, like I said, who really believes and who doesn't.
We have to go to our midway break right now, folks. So if you have a question for Phil Johnson, send it in to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. Also, please use this time wisely and write down as much of the information as possible from our advertisers so that you can more frequently respond to them, even if it just means thanking them for sponsoring Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. That will go a long way to keep our advertisers happy, which we need in order to exist. We need the finances that come through our advertisers to remain on the air. So please respond to them as much as you can. And send in those emails for Phil Johnson at chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Phil Johnson after these messages. As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how he shall be worshipped and how he shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus. Reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcmj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcmj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Dear ones, my name is Justin Peters, and my friend Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I are frequently blessed to share great times of fellowship with one another at conferences all over the United States. We'll both be enjoying more fellowship together at the G3 conference in Atlanta, Georgia, Thursday, September 30th through Saturday, October the 2nd, on the theme Christ is supreme over all. I'll be speaking there along with over 20 other speakers, including John MacArthur, Phil Johnson, Vodie Balcom, Joel Beakey, and James White. For details, visit g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com. Please join Chris Arnson and me September 30th through October the 2nd at G3 2021. This is Justin Peters reminding you that Christ is supreme over all. Fellowshipping with the
family. Here's what Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, had to say about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio recently.
Good to be back. Chris, I always enjoy our time. I have to say you're one of the better interviewers out there, and I've been doing this for more than 30 years.
Wow, that's some compliment. How much do I owe you for that?
You don't have to owe me anything, so we're in good shape.
I'm glad you said it on the air, so I don't have to brag about myself.
Tell your friends and loved ones about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, airing live Monday through Friday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time at ironsharpensironradio.com.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Was your business shut down during the COVID-19 pandemic, depriving you of earning any money, causing you to default on your rent as you try to survive without income? Maybe you've had to close your doors for good. The good news, you thought, was that you purchased business interruption insurance as a part of your business liability policy with a major insurance company who told you they are a good neighbor, or that you would be in good hands. You filed a claim only to be told that it was denied due to the pandemic exclusion clause. The pandemic exclusion? Since 2006, most insurance companies added this clause to enable them to deny your income loss claims in the event of a worldwide pandemic. Do not give up. No matter what state you live in, call Buttafuoco & Associates now at 1-800-669-4878. Buttafuoco & Associates is a part of a large multi-district litigation, and they are working with lead counsel to bring what they believe will be a successful lawsuit for these claims. It is the best way for you to proceed. There's absolutely no risk to you. You do not have to pay them out of pocket, and there is no fee unless you recover on your claim. You need to call 1-800-669-4878 right now. Trust the law firm where the attorneys at one of the largest business firms on Long Island, New York, are sending their own clients for representation during this lawsuit, Buttafuoco & Associates, here to help business owners rebuild their lives in the wake of the pandemic. Call 1-800-669-4878.
Are you tired of looking for the silver bullet when it comes to health and wellness? Are you frustrated with the medical status quo, which masks symptoms and doesn't treat the root problem of sickness? More importantly, are you looking for one of the most unique books ever written, which gives you safe, low cost, and proven options to regain your health the way God intended, then look no further than my new book, Health for All of Life, a medical manifesto of hope and healing for the nations. Hi, I'm Jason Garwood, and I'm a husband, father, pastor, and writer whose passion for helping people led me to write this book. If 2020 has proven anything, it's that big pharma, big tech, and big government knows nothing about how to treat people naturally without poisoning them with synthetic drugs and experimental vaccines. But what if God has given us a better way? What if we can take the Christian worldview found in the Bible and apply it to health and wellness? My book, Health for All of Life, does just that. You can find this exciting new book on Amazon. Pick up a copy for yourself and for your friends and family. Give the gift of health and don't be a dead end to truth.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest in buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nestle Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World Now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group, .org/podcast.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402, or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart.
The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
So sorry, folks, but due to a technical malfunction, the origins of which we cannot trace at the moment, we did not record the last 50 minutes, approximately, of this broadcast.